We praise you. We uplift your holy name. We want to say everything to him because he is our God. This morning, maybe you told your wife, I love you. Maybe your wife said to you, I love you too. Can we not just say to God, God, I love you? Father, I love you. We love him not because he is God, but because he made us. And we are in him. And he is in us. Do not forget, you cannot do anything without God. Amen? Let's go before God in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to take full control of us. Take full control of my tongue as I empty myself and allow God, Holy Spirit, to infill me that I may impact what he has impacted onto me to you. That I may learn and you may learn, that we will not go home empty-handed, but we will go home with something for the whole week to be on our minds to think and just expand the word of God in our hearts. So we pray God will give us a circumcised heart and a circumcised ear. Circumcision of the flesh of the foreskin of the man is no more necessary, but the circumcision of the ear and of the heart, that your heart may be softened to absorb the word of God, and not with hardened hearts. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this very special time. We come to say, Lord, we thank you. We glorify and exalt your mighty name for your greatness, for your power, for your authority, and for, Lord God, for your supremacy. There is no God like you. The word of God says that your promises have been tested and they are always reliable. You never fail us. We want to have a relationship with you. We want to talk to you as a father. Our hearts are yearning to talk to you. Our ears are ready to listen. Give us softened hearts that we may absorb the word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Maybe you are here this morning with a burden. We all have burdens. We all meet storms in our life. And I just want to preach on something that the storms of life. The storms of life. What are the storms of life? There are some storms that are not expected sometimes. That are not expected. Like the tsunami. Like drought. Rainy seasons. And occasions where sometimes we are not even aware of it. And it just comes, boom. Just like that. We are unaware. Unprepared for. And there are situations that we are aware of. Some storms we are aware of. Maybe it comes slowly, slowly. So you begin to know that, oh, there's something in it happening. Something's going to happen in my life. It could be sickness. It could be disease. It could be job loss. Low purchases. Maybe they are not buying so much things at the moment. And then you begin to think, oh, what is happening? The storm is coming. These are things that you're not exempted as a Christian. Know that even your burdens are even more than those in the world, because you have declared yourself to be a soldier of the Lord. And when battle comes, you run away. You are a soldier. When battle comes, you run away. You are prepared to fight. Those in the world, Satan has got them already. He does not tempt them. He commands them. Go and kill. Go and steal. Go and do certain things. But you as a Christian, he tempts. He tempts you. He tempts you. So as Christians, we should be well fortified as soldiers to fight the battle of the Lord. And there are signs of storms sometimes, like prophetic signs or prophetic warnings. Some prophets give us warnings about what is going to happen, the changes in the world. And the Bible tells us specifically what is going to happen in the end time. We remember the story of Noah. He was telling the people, warning the people about the storm to come, but they neglected it. God is so loving and so passionate that he always warns us. He will warn you first. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. And then I'll just look back and say, "Pfft, what do you mean by that?" And I'll go on doing the same thing. There are circumstances or there are consequences for everything that we do. Just imagine you continue to smoke and then you get cancer. And then you complain, "God, why do I have cancer?" Let's go, say you are drinking, a drunkard. And then you become a worse off drunkard. And then you begin to battle against it. These are storms that we meet in everyday life. We face various forms of storms in our lives. What are you facing right now? I just want to go to the story of Joseph. As we read the book of Genesis, so let's read the book of Genesis. I think I need my glasses. It's a little bit dark here. Genesis. The old book of Genesis, chapter 37. I wanted to start from the second verse, but maybe we have to jump sometimes. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought 37 verse 2, Genesis. And he brought bad report about them. Now, Joseph, we know the story of Jacob. He married two women, and he loved the other one more than the other wife. If you married two women, then you must love them equally. But here was he cheating on the other, maybe loving the other more than the other. And today we are not allowed to marry two, but to be content with one we have. Even one is sometimes too much. Is that right? Men, sometimes one is too much. We only need half, maybe. And then he brought the news to his father about a bad report. He said, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons, because he had been born to him in his old age." Oh, Opa. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. They would not speak a kind word to him. Why? Because the father loved him so much. And he made a robe for him. A nice robe. And when we were children, I don't know, in the storybook, they say he made a rainbow coat for him. Very beautiful one. Now, what are you creating in so a family? If a father should love another child more than the other, if a man, now many of us here are having the same effect from our childhood to this very day, that we are not being able to forgive our brothers and our sisters. Is that right? And many of us are still holding that grudge, because my father loved John more than he loved me. And he treated me differently. As parents, it is our duty to love our children the same, no matter what. They are our children. God used us to bring us into this world. You may treat them differently, because there are some children, I know some children, I'm a father myself, there are some children, when you are in the public, that is where they want to display. You tell them, "Hey, sit down." You show them the sign, they only close their eyes. That is like the cat. So you have to pull him maybe on the dress and say, "Hey, sit down." There are some other children, you just look at them, they understand the body language. But you must love them equally. And Jacob was not loving them equally. He loved maybe the two sons, maybe Benjamin also, but Benjamin is not mentioned, but he loved Joseph more. And he attached that love and affection to his son. "Oh, my son," he made him Papa's boy. Are we not facing the same crisis in our families? That sometimes we love one child more than the other? Because the other one is brilliant at school, and the other one seems to be foolish? Are you not the same father and mother who brought that child, that foolish child? So if he's a foolish child, then what are you? We have to love our children the same. God used us as a vehicle to bring them into this world. And it is our duty, Christian duty, as parents, to love them. Teach them the right thing, discipline them, and not love one more than the other. Amen? Some of us are loving maybe one child more than the other. And this is bringing conflict. The children are going to grow up with this. And they will begin to hate one another. I do remember as a child, my father loved me, my mother loved me, but I somewhere along the line, I got to know that he had loved more my sister because she was the only sister. Okay, that is the only sister. So if she's the only one she loves, that's no problem. But I think my mother had loved more my brother and the other ones and that sort of thing. And sometimes I feel that pain in my heart. And begin to think, why? Maybe you have the same problem. These are storms that comes in every human life. That we meet all these things day in and day out. He loved that child. He loved him so dearly that he made that rich ornament. Joseph was a rich man. God had blessed him. Remember when he escaped from his brother and was running down there, and then he laid and he saw the angel and he struggled with him, and God blessed him, so he was a blessed man. He was a rich man. So he didn't make any poor thing for the child. He made something really rich, really durable. And he loved this child. Man, we must love our children the same way. He said the brothers wouldn't even like to talk to him. They hated him. Joseph had a dream, verse 3. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding shelves of grain out in the field when suddenly my shelf rose and stood upright while your shelves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Now, he's got a little bit, I will not say a big mouth, but a little bit, he boasts a little bit. And tells them about his dreams. He was so naive. You are telling people your dreams. Be careful. People are not interested in your dreams. People are not interested in your ambitions. They want many times your downfall. They want many times your downfall. They will come to you, laugh to you in your face, and seems to be lovely. But they are not loving you. Oh, that's so. Oh, you are doing well. And when he tells them, what world is he doing? We must be careful as Christians. The Bible wants us to be careful. We must be subtle like the snake. Be careful how you share with your friends, most especially those you are in the same position with. Note that you are in the same position with them at a working place. So they would like to have go a little bit higher, and you want to go higher. So there's that sort of enviness. And they conspire against you. And you're so naive, and with a wholehearted heart, you lay all your plans before them. They know your secrets. They know everything in your bedroom. They know everything about your finances. They know everything about what you eat. They know everything about your children. They know everything about your wife. They know everything about your school. They know everything about everything, about everything. It's dangerous. We must be very careful. There are some things you will not hear in the street or in the newspaper. Only in the church that you hear these things. Only the pastor can stand here and preach that because it comes from the word of God. Your mother did not tell you, your father will not tell you, but in the house of God you hear it. And whether you like it or not, you absorb it. It becomes a tool for you to use maybe one day to help somebody come out of a situation where he or she has been entangled. Amen? So they will not talk to him at all. Then he said about this dream, and verse 8 says that his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and what he had said. Then he had another dream. He would not keep quiet, but goes on to tell another dream. And he told them about that dream too. I don't want to go spend so much time there. And he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down before me. The 12 brothers were going to bow down before him. And he was going to rule over his mother and his father. He was going to be a very great man. And he was able to even have the spirit of discernment to predict that there was going to be a famine. Even before he went to the land of Egypt, that there was going to be a famine, and then the king must store a lot of food. So he had even control somehow over the moon, the stars, and the seasons. Storms come in our life. We have climatic changes sometimes. The atmosphere is changing. We see global warming. And this morning I heard that in the year 2100, more than 100 and something million Europeans are going to die because of the heat waves here. We in Africa, we are a little bit packed. We are a little bit used to, you know. But a lot of Europeans will be affected because of the heat. It is our duty to protect the earth. God made the earth, and God gave it to Adam and Eve. He did not give it to him that take it forever, no. Because if I give something to you, and I say take it forever, I don't make laws for you. But God gave him a law. Say keep it. You should not do that. You should not do that. You should not do that. If I give you a house and I tell you don't come at 9 o'clock every day, is the house for you? No. Adam did not see that, but gave it over to the enemy. Today, that's our problem because of our sinful nature. We are to take charge of the world. God has given us that. It's the place we can live. This flesh can live. One day, I will fall down. I'm dead, solid like a rock, cold like ice, whereby the spirit in me will just rise and stand and look at the crooked body and say, I will not enter this body, but I'll go to where I belong. We belong to a place. So this world, we are struggling, getting money and all these things. One day it will all pass away. It will all pass away. And then we will stand before God and we'll be judged. So our life must be to feed the spirit on the word of God, to equip ourselves with the word of God. That one day when God calls us, God can call you at any, you know, sometimes think you must be 70 years or 80 years before you die. You can die at any time. I can die at any time. There's a doctor here, he knows that. Stillborn babies are born, they are dead. And all these things that we see, they are all storms of life. So we must feed this soul. This soul. Jesus Christ came to save this soul. Yes, of course, the body, he helps. We have to nurture it. We have to feed it. We have to clean it. We have to maintain it. But Jesus Christ is not so much interested in your body. He is, but not so much. He is interested in your soul, just like Satan is interested in your soul. Because he needs to bring you to hell where you can be used as firewood. And he was sharing his dreams with his brothers, and they did not like it. So one day his father, as the story goes on, calls him and sends him to go to a place called Shechem to give some food to the brothers and to bring him news. Now, anytime this Joseph would tell the father something, the father would just rebuke him sometimes and would not complain so much because sometimes we love our children so much that we pamper them. When the child is saying something, let that go. Please, you are responsible for your children. And it is your duty to educate them, teach them the word of God, and to help them. They are children. This afternoon, our brother was here and he called, children, come forward that we pray. No child was ready to come. Now children are refusing to be children. They are now half men. So this, what happened? And the brothers became very jealous of him in verse 11. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. And then he sends him to the Shechem. There he met a man who showed him that they are not there. He must go to another place called Dothan. And he went there. Then verse 19 says, "Here comes the dreamer," they said. They call him dreamer because of his ambitions, his plans, and what he could see, and discernment, and that sort of thing. Now, people see you in the church, and they call you sometimes a dreamer. Oh, what is doing it to amount to nothing? It's rather unfortunate, but I must say it, whether you like it or not, because in the house of God, there's nothing hidden. That we can have in the house of God Judas and Judases. People who are in the church, but they think evil about other people. They speak evil about other people. They have got a very sharp knife cutting the heels of other people. Instead of encouraging one another, helping one another, uniting ourselves together as a church, knowing that one aim we have is to follow Christ, that one day we will have a place in his kingdom. Why the struggling? Hey, that is mine. Like children fighting over a piece of cake. This you not hear anywhere. You hear it in the church. And now I will hear it only in the church. And I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself. We must change our mode of life, our character. Sometimes we allow storms to come because of the character that we ourselves we have acquired. We like to talk about other people. We like to gossip about other people. We like to complain about things. We like to judge other people. We want to condemn other people. Take what is under your eyes before you take that big tree under my eyes. Stop sweeping dirt under the carpet. One day it will become a mountain. So Joseph had a problem that he had to deal with. And the problem was in his family. Now let's go back to the kitchen of Mama Rebecca. Jacob had used his intelligence. Already God had blessed him. He was going to be a blessed child. But he used that trick to trick his brother by letting him sell his birthright to him with a common bowl of stew. Oh, food. Some of us love food too much that we are even ready to sell ourselves. It may not be physical food, but sometimes we love money. So we are prepared to do everything to acquire that thing. We must be very, very careful. And he sold it. And then in the kitchen, the mother taught him tricks when he heard the father talking that Esau must go and bring him some wild, 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 smelly bushmeat soup. So he decided, "Jacob, come here. Go to the backyard, bring a goat, and I'll prepare some meat, and you take it to your father." And they deceived Isaac. So he deceived Isaac. The mother also helped. Mothers, what are you doing to bring unity in your family? Mothers especially, because fathers, we go out working. When we come, we are tired many times. We throw one sock there. The mother will have to go around picking them. But mothers, how do you unite your children? This message is for mothers, for fathers, and for families. One day, these children will hate you for that because you loved the other child more than the other. And it happened in the Bible. And these were people that God has blessed and God was going to use to form a nation, Israel. And in many circumstances, God uses wrong people, I would say, sometimes. But who are we to judge God? Lower people. People who don't have any idea. Who don't have any theological thing about the Bible, just like me. I'm a common man. I don't know. I've not been to Bible school. that God uses me if I avail myself. God can use you if you avail yourself. And sometimes people don't understand. And they begin to criticize, and they see fault about you, and they sometimes they sit down and they write notes about you. Take that thing under your eye before you take the other one from my eye. I'm not being abusive. I'm talking straight. And some many years ago, after preaching, somebody came to me and said, "James, I don't like the way you preach." I asked him why. He said, you are too direct. I said, then ask God, Holy Spirit, for a quick answer. It goes to me also. When I point one finger, 5 points at me. I must change my life. I must change my character. I must love my children. It's my duty to love them. To love the church. To love the church members. We all have weaknesses. In my weaknesses, I'm made strong because of you. You can strengthen me. Don't ignore me. Because I'm an African. I've not been to a Bible school. But take me as a brother, because one day we meet in heaven. And when you reach heaven and I'm there, will you go back? James is there. No. One day it will surprise us when we go to heaven and we see somebody with some little bad hair. Hitler. They say, "Who is this?" Say, "Hitler." "Oh, I will not be here." You can go to hell when you want. Maybe he repented. God is so loving and so merciful. When if at the last minute he repented, God will forgive him. And he will go into his kingdom. What about you? You are not dead. You still have many years before you and many temptations and many trials and many storms to overcome. So we must stop condemning others. We must stop judging others. We must stop seeing the fault of other people. Whilst our fault is just behind us, carrying this fault on our heads. We must change our character and our attitude towards other people. And now they call him a dreamer. That dreamer is coming. And they said to each other, "So come, let's kill him and throw him into one of these wells and say that a wild animal devour him. Then we will see what will happen to his dreams." People want to see what will happen to your dreams. Sometimes we bluff too much. I have this, I have 5 houses, and I have a ship that is not at the harbor in the moment, and I have a car that is not now even made, and I have this, and my bank account is overflowing with money that even the bank cannot keep the money. The money is just running over the corridors that they call me to come and pick them. We bluff. You see, we boast. Joseph was naive. He was young. He needed experience. Young people, you see, take your time when you have a position and learn from the older people. Is that right? Learn from the older people. I'm learning from Pastor. Even though I'm older than him, but I learn from him because he has more experience. We all learn from him. Girls, learn from the older women. They have experience. They have seen troubles. They have seen stormy days. They have seen hard times. Learn from them. And it will be a blessing unto your soul. Let's go on with this interesting story. So Joseph, a paparazzi, you know paparazzis? A small paparazzi, a reporter, always reporting. And then with all these events of his dreams, had a lot of problems, encounter with his brothers, and they hated him. And Jacob had to work on his family because there was a problem there, and he was not working on it. Sometimes we refuse to work on our problems. Many a times we'll throw it tomorrow, the next week. Oh, next year. In the end, it becomes a mountain. And we have to call for a bulldozer. Of course, you have to pay so much to bring it out. But just little things, take your time, go about it. Try to get it. Because sometimes, some years back, I receive I go over. Sometimes I'm not I hope you're not listening to me. I sometimes have run a little bit faster. Maybe 50, I should go 50, I've gone 60. I will not say 70. And then I've got some bills to pay. First would come, it is maybe 10 euros. Oh, this is just 10 euros. I put it somewhere in the drawer. Poof. 1 month later, it comes, 12 euros. Oh, why is it 12 euros? Last time, come 15. It get babies. It becoming babies. And then the next time, you see it is 20. And then next time, it is before the court. The next time, the court calls you. And then in the end, you have to pay 300 euros. And then you are rushing to pay. Don't run away from problems. Problems will not run away from you. You have to solve them. And there's no quick solutions. Solutions don't come from alone. You have to work it out. You have to work your character out. If, let's say, Jacob had worked on this to solve that problem. Now, this trend has followed. He was loved by Rebecca. Now, he loves Joseph. The hatred continues in the family. And he goes. And we see down down in the line that all these things had brought a lot of problems in the family. To the time that Joseph landed in the land of the Egyptians, when he was sold to the Midianites. He went to a different country, different culture, different tradition. Everything was different, different food. Cultural shock. And then he stood in an empty country. Did not know he has lost a dear one. He loved his father so much. He wished he could go back to his father. That the father would just pat him on the shoulder. There was no love. And then he sat down in this world when he was in it. And he lifted up his eyes. And he could see only darkness. And do you know what came into my mind? Maybe when he was in this world and he was thinking, oh, Papa Jacob, I miss you so much. How can I see you? And thinking, oh, my brothers wanted to kill me. Now they've done this. What is the next plan? And maybe he started singing. Maybe you helped me to sing. Maybe Joseph was singing. Maybe he was singing. I'm sure. Maybe he was singing. There is an endless song echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring, and though the storm may come, I am holding on to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I'm loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. The book of James, chapter 5, verse 13 says, is somebody in trouble? If you are in trouble, he said you must pray. So I believe he was praying a while. He was shaking. He was sweating. He was feeling cold. He was dying. He was thirsty. He was hungry. The same situation Jesus Christ was in. And he looked up there, and you can see all darkness around him. And he could see only the light. And he was singing this song. Oh my God, what is going to happen? What is going to happen? See, I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives. Please sing with me. And I will walk with me through. Sing the song God is going to walk you through the storm that you are passing through. Don't be afraid. Don't be shaken. God is faithful. He has always been faithful. And whatever storms you are going through, maybe storms of financial difficulties, marriage difficulties, maybe you are passing through storms of addiction, passing through storms of fornication, storms of masturbation, pornography, storms of gossip. Now, you've been fighting against this for a while. You're doing it on your own. There's no way out. I always tell my wife, if there's a way in, there's a way out. If the character entered you, if Satan entered you, there's a way out. He must go out. Now, Jesus stands and offers and says, here I am. I came to die for you, my child. Come to me with all your burdens. Give me all your problems. And now, a loving father will help you out. Do you want to carry this problem with you alone? It is ugly. It is burdensome to carry this on your head back to the house and masturbate. Back to the house and run the night into your little room and open the computer whilst your wife is sleeping, your husband is sleeping, to go to the internet and communicate with other women and other men. It's not a shame. About women you have never seen before, women you do not know. And you never know them, but you love them. And your wife is by you on the bed. Your husband is there, and you have another wife somewhere. It's addiction. Jesus says, I'm ready to help you if you will take a step. So before we go to God in prayer, just examine your heart. Jesus will not put a cane on your head. You are the one. He said, if you are willing, just make a move and say, God, this has been a burden for a long time. Help me come out of this situation. I don't want to go home with this on my head again. I don't want to be masturbating. I don't want to fornicate. I don't want to be taking drugs. I don't want to be taking excessive alcohol. These are darknesses that we live in, and storms. Storms of life, they come. Whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, you may face one. But there's a way out. Christ, the hope of glory. Christ, the cornerstone, is there that you can just reach your hands and tap him and fetch that life springing water. As you told the Samaritan woman, if you drink from this well, you'll never be thirsty again. You don't need to even come and fetch water again. And she did not understand it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He will give you peace in your heart. He will give you relief that you can shame the enemy and walk away from his cage. Say, I'm free now in Christ Jesus' name. You are born a free man. Don't sell your birthright. You've sold your birthright to Satan. And now it is time to take it back. And it is you who sold it. It is you who can reclaim it. God is going to help you out if only you are willing. So Joseph had a very good story to tell us all. I think we've learned something from this. I've preached on this many years ago before. But this time it came to my mind to preach on this once again. And I've learned a lot of things from this passage. Storms come to demoralize us. They come to discourage us. They come to just derail us from the root of our destiny. But God, in his infinite love, turns everything to our favor. He turns negative to positive. He turns weaknesses into strength. So don't be afraid, my brothers and my sisters. You have a God. A God who is reliable. A God who is able. But you must be ready. And God will help you come out of this situation. No matter what, how many years it has taken you, you can come out if only you are willing. So, These are brothers with a huge problem, and it continued to the time that, to the very time that one day there was reconciliation when Jacob went with the children all to Egypt, also because of food. They all went to Egypt. So as we are about to go before the Lord in prayer, just examine your heart. I want you to take a minute or two, look into your heart. And if God is speaking to your heart, maybe you can ask a brother to pray for you, a sister to pray for you. Or you can come forward, and Brother Uwe will also help me here to pray with you, that you come out of that situation. We are not here to listen to your problems and go to Banoff and say, hey, do you know what is happening? This man is like this, this man is like this. I was a sinner like you. We are here to encourage one another. So let's go before God in prayer quietly, quietly, just 2-3 minutes. Examine your own heart and see what your burden is. And the storm that you are facing. Storm of stubbornness, unfaithfulness to your wife or to your husband.